When my parents split up, the only thing they cared about was who got to keep the dog. You can go and take whatever you want, but you can't take the dogs. You can even take the six string. Don't come saying you miss me. You can go and take my last name off, but you can't take the dog.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, speaking with another country artist, another up-and-coming person on the Nashville scene, I'm talking to Matt Oakley. Now, Matt, when we spoke, was in the process of moving to Nashville. We spoke actually almost 2 months ago now. Took a little time to get this out, but I hope that he's well on his way in Nashville currently. We talk kind of about things that I've talked to other budding stars in the world of country music about, and that's just how they got their start, how he decided to be a country artist, how the writing process works for him. He did introduce a few things that I haven't talked to people about before, and that's kind of a little bit more on the production side of things, a little bit more about the style of music that he's putting out. I really found this one to be fun. I always like talking to new up-and-coming artists, just hearing the passion behind the work that they're doing. Obviously, he's betting on himself right now. He's moving to Nashville. He's becoming somebody on that Nashville scene. If you remember, the last person I spoke to was talking about being buried on Broadway. So he's certainly going there to, I'm sure, get a taste of Broadway, a taste of, that country music famous street. As far as his songs, he's got one that we talk about called Can't Take the Dog. That's kind of a funny thing about how, you're breaking up with somebody. They can take everything, take the house, take the jewelry, take all that, but just you can't have the dog. So thought that was kind of funny. So we talk a little bit about that song, how it came about. We talk about the music video because there's some awesome dogs in it that steal the show. But another great up-and-coming country artist, another great person to add to your Spotify playlist. Think you're really going to enjoy this one. Before we get to Matt, of course, I've got to say, go follow along on Instagram, Not Enough Podcast. Go on Spotify and Apple. Follow along, subscribe there, leave a 5-star review. That helps a ton. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps even more. Here is Matt Oakley. Mr. Oakley, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Hardest question of the evening. Just introduce yourself.
Okay. Putting me on the spot. My name is Matt Oakley. I'm a country singer. I've grew up all over, but I'm currently preparing for a move up to Nashville, where I'll be doing the music full time up there and diving into it with a couple buddies of mine. So I'm super excited to get going, and I appreciate the opportunity to meet everyone virtually through this podcast.
No, that's super exciting. Where are you currently at?
So I've been in Tampa, Florida for the last 2 years. Before that, I had been in South Carolina for about 5 or so years. And then before that, Virginia. And then if we're dating it way, way back, my dad was in the Army. So I moved all around from Virginia, Rhode Island, lived in South Korea for a year, actually. So I'm pretty well traveled for my age.
No, it sounds like it. So, I always like to ask people, when they are making a move, if that's kind of scary. A lot, I've talked to a lot of artists that do make that move to Nashville, but it's from their hometown. They've never been anywhere else. Doesn't sound like you're going to have that problem. You've been all over the place. So any nerves at all as that move's happening? I mean, that's kind of betting on yourself in this country music thing.
100%. I think wouldn't say any nerves. I think more so excitement. I think it's pretty on par with everything else as far as a move goes. I mean, it's easier to do because, like I said, I'm moving with a good buddy of mine who I make music with. He helps me write my stuff and plays a big part in, like, when we're tracking out demos and all that. So having him with me is a good little piece of whatever you want to call it, comfortability. But we're going into it just with excitement, no nerves. I think as far as like the betting on myself comment goes, I feel like I'm too far in now to not be doing that. I think if I was half in, half out, it just wouldn't work. So you could say betting on myself or all chips to the middle of the table at this point.
No, I love that. And I want to ask you now, kind of, let's go to the very beginning. How did you get this, your passion for music? How did music start for you? I mean, you probably had a lot of time in between, you know, all these drives to new places, all this moving, but what created the passion?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been driven towards music as a listener. I think as everybody else is, it was never just country music as far as what I listen to. You know, I listen to everything. My dad exposed me and my sisters to a lot of music growing up. And I think I just over time gravitated towards country music the most. And it was always as far as like what was on the most and like car rides and road trips and around the house, it was country music. And as I got older, and especially near the end of college, once I was like coming into my own and kind of leaving that party scene behind, I was just like gravitating more and more towards authentic, like storytelling music. And that was right around the time that I started to take making my own music seriously. And so it was just this good blend of growing up around it and always being exposed to different kinds of music. And I'll say both my parents were real cool about just always emphasizing how important it is to like express yourself and tap into like the creative sides of your brain and just all that stuff. And so I've always had a like desire to try and create stuff on my own, whether it's, for example, in high school, I ran a landscaping company just because it felt like something cool to do, like from scratch, from my own. And then it evolved and I played sports and being able to contribute something on my own there. And ultimately this music thing is where I'm at now. And it's been the most all in I've been on something my entire life, which feels cool. And it feels good because it's starting to pick up some momentum. So it's kind of like some validation there too.
Yeah. And you talked about creating and creating music, and you mentioned moving in with a buddy that I think that you said you collaborate with a little bit. So what's that look like with your music? Are you somebody who does a lot of your own writing? Do you work with a co-writer? Do you take other people's songs and make them your own, or what's that look like?
Yeah. So I didn't really even understand it in the beginning. Like I'd say the first year or two, it really was me. Either I wrote 100% of my own songs or a buddy, this guy that I'm talking about, Justin, he would help me with a lot of mine, or a buddy here or there would throw in just an idea my way. And then I would sit down and try and write them. And then it wasn't until I sat in a writing session in Nashville for the first time before I realized how it actually worked. And of course you have the artists who swear by doing 100% of their own rights and 100% of everything and all that. And that's cool too. And I think there's something to be applauded there because it can be hard, but I was super excited before, during, and after that first write to like learn from people who have been doing it and are in the scene and write with people every day, and see they pulled pieces out of me and out of my writing style that I probably wouldn't have found as quickly as I have. So as far as like my process right now, I write a lot of my stuff with either a buddy or one other guy, producer, or if we have a big planned week where we're all going to go somewhere and write, we'll kind of do these like planned out writing sessions. And that's kind of how my process works for right now. And I'm sure it'll change and it's been different, but that's kind of how it sits right now.
Yeah. And I want to talk about one song in particular, because I know it, I believe it recently came out. I don't think I could think of, if I was just trying to think of a country song name, I don't think I could think of one better. And that is the Can't Take the Dog. That's a pretty country song sounding name. How'd that come about?
Yeah. So that one actually was one of the ones that I wrote in the beginning that was all by myself. And one night I was down, I had a little studio set up where I was living at the time. And I went down there and just picked up the guitar and started messing around with some ideas. And like 15 years prior to writing this song and putting it out was when my parents split up. And during that time, the only thing they cared about was who got to keep the dog. And it was like, kids get to choose where they went. Kids get to choose the parent. And then like, they obviously split up the resources and all that. But then it was like this one huge legal battle was the dog. And so I was sitting there thinking about ideas, and that memory popped into my head. And I was like, this just feels like like you said, it just feels like a good song idea. And so I just started with, how do I want to intro this story in the verses? All right, she took everything, but then the big punchline comes in, but she can't take the dogs. And so it just evolved over time, and it sat on my laptop just as a demo idea for a little bit. And then I played it for a couple of my buddies, and they're like, dude, you should like show this to some of the Nashville guys. And so I did, and they're like, all right, let's cut this. And so it was the first song that we've done in Nashville that we've, as far as like live in band with all the players, that we put out, and it's been received super, super well. I think it's been out for about 6 weeks now, and it's doing really well, and people are responding really positive to it. So it's crazy how quick something can, or maybe not quick, but it's cool to watch it through the process of just going down one night and fiddling around with my guitar, coming up with an idea, to now it being this song that people are able to play and put on their playlists and all that. So it's a cool process.
Oh, absolutely. Back when this split was happening with your parents, did you have to make your decision before the dog thing was figured out? Because I feel like that would be part of my decision.
Yeah, that's fair. No one's asked me that yet, but it was kind of like simultaneous, and I have two sisters, no brothers. And so the reason this dog was so important was they got it because it was a boy dog, and it was like, all right, this is your brother. Like when I was like 4 or 5, they like got me the boy dog, but it was our family dog. And so it wasn't like I was only with one of my parents. I saw them both all the time. They lived like 10 minutes from each other after there. So I was back and forth all the time. So I got to pick who I went with, and I got to see both of them all the time, and I got to see the dog. So I feel like I made out well on that end of the deal.
Well, good. I watched the video for the song as well. Really cool video. I've got to ask about the dog though, because the dog's in the video is the star. Who is that? Your dog? Somebody else's dog? Whose dog is it?
So we were going to use my dogs. I got two Australian Shepherds, but it was too hard to, they're older, and it was too hard to get them to travel. One of them's in Virginia, and then the other one in Florida by me. But we were like, all right, if we can't get them to, then we used a friend of the videographers, which they were great about. Shout out to them. They had this, they sent us pictures, and they're like, well, do you want to use this big Great Dane? And they've also got a lab. And I was like, that's perfect. That's spot on. And the dog was better actor than I was, sticking his head out of the sunroof of the truck and hopping up in the truck and hopping out over and over. We shot all day that day. And those dogs were great. They're not mine, but you wouldn't have known no different if you were on set. They were great dogs, and they were friendly, and they acted pretty well too.
I like it for sure. I want you to tell us about some of your other music. I checked it out back, you know, I guess we're giving away some of the background, and you're in the process of a movie. I already talked about that, but we've been kind of going back and forth a little bit. And that means that I've forgotten the name of some of these other songs. I got to say what it is. Talk about some of your other music.
I'll dive into that too. So some of the other songs that I have out right now, almost all the ones that are publicly, I think I've got 5 songs out, and 3 of them are ones that a producer buddy of mine put together all the instruments in studio and then sent me, and I tracked them just in. I had this little like home studio set up where I was living at the time, and I tracked it all there, sent it all out to get mixed and mastered, and just put it out there. And so those songs have been out there for about 2 years. And if you listen to, you can almost hear it like as a maturity in the music style, the maturity and like learning my voice in the process there. I still think they're great songs. They're just a little different, which I think is what makes it so cool when you dive back into an artist's catalog, like from Can't Take the Dogs going forward. You know, it's this, we've matured into this full live band in studio sound. And I record all my harmonies and doubles. And before that, it was just, it was just kind of me figuring it out as I go. And there's a rawness to those old tracks that I think can be appreciated in their own light. And they're like pieces of the process, and they've been well received by people too. And I have Dive Bar, I think, is my most successful before Can't Take the Dog. And that was just about like heartbreak, drinking in college. I wrote that right as I was a senior in college and put that out. And I got a song called Richest Man I Knew, which I wrote with my dad, which is really cool. And it's about my grandfather who passed away. So that one means a lot to me. And I've got some others out there too. The Whiskey Does has done really well. And that's always like a fan favorite when we play it at shows. And Away With Words was actually made the same day as Dive Bar. So they've all kind of got, they intertwine with each other. And I think if you go back and listen to them, there can be an appreciation for the storytelling and the where I was at that time as an artist. And it's cool for me to even sometimes go back and listen to him. Like it's like I'm listening to him for the first time. So, and all that is obviously as easily as if you're listening to this and you want to go back and kind of follow what I'm saying there, it's just Matt Oakley on everything. And you can do your own deep dive there.
Yeah. And I want to talk more about your catalog in a second, but I want to ask, definitely when people that are, you know, finding their success, but they're, you know, they're relatively new when it comes to getting into the music world, when it comes to the success that you're having now. So I ask, what's been some of the most I guess, rewarding parts. And then, of course, we got to cover the flip side too. But let's start with the most rewarding parts of getting into the industry.
Yeah, I'll say, like, you learn a lot about yourself as a person too when you dive into something that's as publicly, like, when you're putting out music publicly, you're allowing people to judge you. And before I started making music, it was an artist, all they were was this outlet through their music. And so it was like, or their music was an outlet of who they were as a person, I should say. It was my perception on it. And now that you do it, you realize it's not that at all. Like, it's a piece of, it's a creation. It's an extension of this person and the people that, the producer that made it, the other writers that may have been on it, the engineer that was tracking them that day. And it's like, the amount of people that go into one song that'll be different from the people that go into the next song. And I think the rewarding aspect of it is I have a deeper appreciation for people who create in general, whether it's painters or other musicians. Not necessarily, doesn't have to be even be a singer. It can be an instrumentalist or a producer or whatever it may be. I've had such a deeper appreciation since I started creating. And I think that's something that almost any artist would say too, is like, you start to enjoy the process in a way that you would never have understood if you never dove into creating something of your own. And I will say, like, as a person, there's something therapeutic about sitting down and just writing and like writing stories, that songs and stuff. It's like it's an outlet in some ways. And not every song is meant to be put out. Not every song is meant to be a hit. Not every song is supposed to even be played back. You know, you make your fair share of bad songs along the way, but I think as you grow and as you learn a lot about yourself as a person, as an artist. And I think that's got to be the most rewarding part.
Yeah. So about like the industry, have you found actually, because I mean, you're talking about, you know, all of this work that you're putting in, you know, creating the songs, writing the music, making something that's really important to you. Let's talk about, hey, maybe, you know, people aren't as receptive, whether it is the people that are listening or, you know, the industry as a whole. Have you had to struggle with that at all? I mean, the industry is just that. It's a business. It's an industry. Sometimes it's a little bit rough.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wildly competitive space to get into. And I think I wouldn't say that I've necessarily struggled with, I think I have a good outlook on, like, in terms of there's nothing that you can make that literally every single person that hears it is going to like. It's just not possible. And I think the problem when I started out was I would write songs or I would create stuff. And I was like, I got to think of what they're going to like and what people are going to like and how they're going to receive it. And I'd say, like, once my mindset flipped into just being like a little bit more authentic with the approach and everything and being realistic, like what I was just saying, and you're saying, like, as far as like the competitiveness of the industry, if you don't like artist A, there's going to be artist B, C, D. Like, there's going to be a million other people putting out music. And so I'd say the hard part isn't, like, I wouldn't say the creation of it. I think you're spot on in saying, like, it's getting it in front of the right people. And I attribute a lot of that to the team that I have around me. I've got a great manager who sets me up and helps me out a lot and got me in the rooms with writers that have helped me as a writer and got me in the room with producers who have helped me understand the music process. And so I attribute a lot of my avoidance of the struggle to the people that have helped me and the people that are around me. So I haven't run into anything crazy yet as far as like, this is a really deep roadblock. I'm bound to, I think everyone is in this industry, but I think it's, I don't know. I really do it just because I love it. And it's enjoying, and it's like an enjoyment of mine to go out and do. And so as long as people keep progressing it and keep liking it and listening to it, then I'm gonna keep doing it. And that's kind of my mindset on that.
No, I love that. And that's the great thing about kind of the, you know, a lot of people say, oh, there's just so many people out there that can be musicians now because you can put your stuff on Spotify. Anybody can do it. But the great thing about that is that you can find your own audience. You don't have to just, you know, you don't have to write songs that you necessarily don't like, but it's going to get radio play. You don't have to worry about that because you're going to be able to find that audience. I mean, back a long time ago, I think Billy Joel even wrote a song. Just basically, he's got to write a song that gets on the radio and he's got to cut it down to 305 and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be like that anymore. And I think that's a really positive thing for sure.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. I want to ask you now, this is a question that, you know, I ask almost every music artist and everyone wants to give kind of a political answer right down the middle here. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy the performing more? Or do you enjoy the songwriting more? Are you somebody who says, hey, I love writing songs and the only way that I'm going to be successful is to perform them? Or on the flip side, hey, I love performing so much that the only way that I'm going to get on the stage is if I write some songs.
That's a great question. My buddy Dylan, who tracks me and does a lot of writing with me, he asked me a similar question. He was like, if you could only do one thing music wise for the rest of your life, what would it be? What aspect of it? And I was basically like this, and like this, like creation. I think it's such an addicting feeling when you create something. It's hard to explain I get that like some people enjoy that, some people don't. But as far as like for me, the ability to sit down and literally create something that you can put out into the world that didn't exist a few hours ago, that's such a cool feeling. And it's like, especially when people start being receptive to it. Of course, it's fun to do shows, and of course, it's fun to get out there and hear people singing and jumping around, and that'll always be fun. But as far as what I love the most and what the most fun part of it is that feeling of like creating and coming up with a new song idea, or coming up with this story that you've written that's based on something in your life from years and years ago that you've put together and put out. And so for sure, I'd say the creation aspect of it is where I get the most enjoyment.
I think you've given the most straight answer of anyone. So I like it. Uh-huh. Do you work at all? I know that you talked about collaborating with other people on your music. Given that you like the creation aspect so much, are you yet, or do you have aspirations to, you know, write for other people as well?
Yeah. So as far as like a wholesome answer to that question, I help my sister puts out music too. Her name's Caroline Oakley, and she just puts music out, and it's a hobby of hers, and she enjoys it. And she's got, as far as like a naturally gifted singing voice, she's able to outsing me any day of the week. But as far as like sitting down and creating and helping, like it's cool to be able to sit down with her, because she makes more of like softer lo-fi type pop music almost. And it's like being able to sit down as just like a writer with her and help her out with that when it's not my lane at all, I think that expands, like, once again, my appreciation for the creation process and music as a whole. And so I help that Dylan kid I brought up. I help him. I got a buddy, Brandon Hart, who we've dabbled as far as like writing together here and there, but we don't live near each other. And once I get up to Nashville, we'll be diving deeper. But Brandon, yeah. So I'd say like going in commercially in writing, I haven't dabbled in. But as far as like people in my inner circle who also are artists and put out, I'm always happy to dive into or write with them here or there.
I think that's really great for sure. So once you get up to Nashville, what's the plan there? You said that you're moving in with your buddy. Is the plan to kind of crank out these songs to get in the studio? Is it to get more exposure and kind of, you know, get on as many stages on Broadway as you can? And what's that look like?
I mean, I think here's where I'll give you the down the middle answer, because it genuinely is a little bit of both. We have, over the last year, I've been traveling in and out of Nashville left and right to create this album, and we're finally done with it, and we're like tying all the loose ends together as far as mix masters and stuff like that, and cover art, and all the like nitty-gritty stuff, that tedious stuff that goes into a project. So over the next couple months when I'm there, I think it's going to be a lot of getting some singles out to build up and putting out this kind of sound that we've curated over the last year, and doing some radio shows and doing some interviews there. And when a show pops up here or there that, you know, like we want to go do, of course we'll do them. And we're talking about getting some stuff set up now. I wouldn't say it's how many stages. I think if we were going quantity, we'd miss out on some quality of shows. And we want, at the end of the day, I want to be able to put on, if I'm going to go out and do a show, I want it to be one that people want to hear. And so if I only have a few songs out versus building up and getting some out there and doing smaller sets to start out, that'll be more beneficial, not only for myself as an artist, but for the people who come and spend their time and are coming out to a show. So as far as now, it's going to be a lot of getting the songs out, getting some singles out there, planning for this album release, doing the whole radio show run, interviews, whatever gets put on my calendar, I'm happy to hop on board, because it's part of it. And that's another side of it that's fun, is the, like you said earlier, the businessy side of it and trying to figure out how to get the songs in front of the right people. So as far as what my schedule looks like, it's kind of like a moving target.
No, absolutely. So I guess like my next question is about, you already talked about dabbling in a little bit different kind of music when you're helping your sister write. I always like to kind of ask artists about what kind of music do they enjoy? You know, before I started talking to artists, it was, okay, you're a country music artist. You probably like country music, but I've talked to plenty of country music artists that are big fans of screamo or something because they spend so much time, you know, in the country music world. So what do you listen to when, I guess you've got some time in Spotify yourself?
When I was in college, like earlier on in college, it was a lot of pop or rap just because it was like, that's what was on. That was playing in the bars and I was playing in at the parties and stuff like that. But as far as like what I like to listen to, I mean, I love country music. I'm not one of those people who's going to like lie and be like, oh, I listen to it too much, so I can't. I genuinely love it. And I think as far as like instrumentally, it's what like hits me the most. And the lyrics are always spot on in good country music. So I'd say country is definitely number one. But I'm also a fan of like the Ed Sheerans of the world, the Lewis Capaldis of the world. I think like that emotional, I don't even know what genre that is. But like that Adele, I mean, I guess I'm naming all English or European artists. So maybe there's something there to that. But all those people have like a super heartfelt, emotional approach to music. And I think that's what makes music like that so relatable and cool. And so I'm a big fan of that kind of music, which is, I guess, the exact opposite of like the screamo thing you were saying. So.
Yeah, no, but it all kind of has that common theme where, you know, the thing about country music is, you know, just like you said, that all pretty much has a story and you can understand pretty much every word of it. And that's exactly what you're getting from Ed Sheeran and Adele and stuff too.
So yeah.
It sounds like, and it makes sense given, you know, how important it is to you to create this music and, you know, write it, that you care about kind of the lyrics of a song rather than just the beat. So I like that for sure. I want to ask you now about, I guess, advice that you have for others getting into the industry. You know, you've had some success now. What advice do you have to others who are interested maybe in the performing aspect or the writing aspect or all of it?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to put like a quote unquote made it standpoint, I wouldn't say that I made it and I'm still figuring out a lot of stuff as we go. But as far as the success I have had and the doors that I have had opened and I've walked into, I've realized the biggest thing, the most important thing I think is like, don't waste your time fabricating something or spending so much time trying to put together this artist brand that maybe you don't even want to be or relate to. Cause then if you don't make it as this fake, look at like Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus thing is a good example. If you don't make it as this person you're portraying, you'll always wonder, well, what if I was just my more authentic myself? And what if I was just more of who I was? Would people be more receptive? And you'll beat yourself up over that. And if you do make it as this person you don't want to be, then you have to spend your next 20, 30 years playing this part that you don't even want to be. And I think also like the authenticity will creep through the cracks and it'll be easy to snuff out. And so I'd say the biggest piece of advice is if it's something you know you want to do and it's part of you and it's this thing that you've got, just jump into it as who you are and just do it authentically to yourself. And I think you'd rather be yourself on both sides of the coin. And it's a little scary at first because it's like a vulnerable thing. Like I said at the beginning of this, you're putting something out that's a part of you. And the only way that it's worth doing that is if you're saying, okay, I'm open to people liking it or hating it. And if they hate it, they can tear you down in a million different ways. And I think that's the only scary part to it. But if it's something that you know you want to do, just dive into it and don't try and do it too fast. Don't try and microwave it. At this point for me, this is something I started really diving into and trying to learn about in COVID. So 2020. So we're going on 4 years of trying to figure this out. And this past year has been the year that it's really started to take off. And when you look at artists who blow up, quote unquote, overnight, it's usually never that. It's usually a couple of years in the making. So be yourself. Take it slower than you think you need to. Be open to learning and don't try and microwave anything.
I think that's really good. And I think that's, you know, that's advice that you can take pretty much in any passion. You know, I've heard things like that before, but not just music artists, but, you know, authors or somebody who is getting into acting or all these different things. It's a lot easier to live with yourself to have not been successful if you're authentic to you rather than somebody else. Because if people don't like, you know, what you're putting out, hey, at least that's me rather than,
yeah,
you know, I've created something I don't even like and now they don't like it either. So yeah,
exactly.
I like that for sure. So
I want to ask you too, just about, you know, we talked about the kind of music you like to listen to. Conversely, people that want to listen to you, what should they expect? I never like to ask people to compare themselves to somebody else because, you know, they're their own person. But what should they expect if they do go out and find you on Spotify? You can compare yourself to someone if you want. You can talk about your sound, whatever you want to do.
For sure. I think the songs I've got out now, two of them, and I'm going to throw a term out there that a lot of people are familiar with, but if you're not, then I'll explain it. They were made in the box, which means like in your DAW, which is like digital audio workstation. So it's like drawing in sounds like a kick drum. You take a sample and load it in and create a pattern, and take a hi-hat and create a pattern. I've got two songs out there that I made like that, which is more of the Morgan Wallen type country pop sound. And I've got some of that out there. This stuff that we're working on now is full live in band, nothing drawn in the box, just straight from an instrument in the studio out of Nashville. So it's all just that Nashville live, really tight, put together sound, which is a lot of what you hear from like a Riley Green or a Cody Johnson these days. So I'd say there's, as far as right now, there's something for everybody as far as what you want to go and listen to. But what we have coming out definitely leans that traditional approach to country music, where it's all just live instruments, acoustic, electric guitars, drums, keys, pedal steel, all that stuff. And a lot of layers and harmonies as far as vocals go. And like I said at the beginning, it's I laid all those down, and it's like, it's cool to look at the evolution. So as far as my style goes, definitely more traditional now than what's out there currently on Spotify. But there's something for everyone, I'd like to think.
Yeah. So as we reach the end, this is the point where we're going to kind of plug the things you got going. It sounds like you're in a huge transition now. So I don't know whether you necessarily got shows that people can come to, but what things do you have in the pipeline that people can follow along with?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. It's, like you said, I mean, it's the last month has been crazy, and the next couple of weeks will be crazy. I'm smack in the middle of a move right now, and I'm trying to, you know, pack up my whole life and head up to Nashville to do that thing. So we don't have any shows scheduled right this second. Should be aiming to do some early fall into the winter time. And the easiest way to stay on top of that is I post on all my socials whenever I have an upcoming show. It's just Matt Oakley Music on every platform. So I think Instagram's the easiest way to find me and click on the links and find the Spotify and everything. I have it all set up there. But yeah, singles coming out pretty soon while I do this move, and any shows that we do that we are able to fit in, I'll post about them on my socials. So I'd say just keep up with me there, and if you want, and tap into the music and give it a listen.
I really, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
So that was Matt Oakley. Pleasure to have him on. Just another great up-and-coming star, another great person. Like I said in the beginning, to add to that Spotify playlist, I really do think you're going to enjoy his music. If you're into country music, definitely going to enjoy it. It's covering all the things that people love about country music. Love that, those breakup songs. Love those songs about, just loving your dog. So gotta love that. And like I said in the beginning, when we were talking a few months ago, he was moving to Nashville, taking that plunge. So hope everything's going well there. My well wishes are certainly with Matt with that. I urge you to go follow along with him on Spotify. Go listen to some of his music and show him some love there. Follow along with him on all his social media as well. If you're first time listening to this podcast or you haven't already, go subscribe, follow along on Spotify and on Apple. Leave that 5-star review, leave that written review. Those help so much. Go follow along on Instagram as well, Not Enough Podcast. That way you don't miss out on other episodes. Go check out past episodes. I've had so many amazing people from so many walks of life. But if you say, Jackson, I only care about these music artists, well, there's probably half a dozen or more up-and-coming stars that you can add to your playlist from episodes past. So hope to have you, I guess, from the past, hope to have you listening to some of those. Hope to have you listening to future episodes too. So we'll see you next week. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time, where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think, or hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.